This is WKSU News. I'm Kabir Bhatia. It's been another week of closed businesses, self-quarantine, and wine with DeWine in Ohio, and another week of changes in the state's battle against coronavirus. Now, Sarah Taylor and I will answer questions you've submitted to Oh Really about everything from the emergency alert system to new cars. Our first few questions this week are about temperature.
Specifically laundry and how to make sure your clothes are free of coronavirus. We asked Dr. Erica Sobolewski from Summit County Public Health.
Just normal laundry care, you know, with regular laundry soap. They do recommend the hot cycle as well.
And Anthony Gardner wants to know if microwaving will kill coronavirus on carryout containers and food.
Well, we actually have information on containers and how long it can live on them at WKSU.org. But the experts are saying to transfer your food to a new container once you get home.
And then if you microwave it, here's what Dr. Sobolewski says.
There's really no evidence right now that the virus is carried on food or water.
We also received a pair of questions about whether, with warmer temperatures coming, mosquitoes can carry coronavirus or cause COVID-19.
Dr. Sobolewski says there's no evidence of that either. Of course, they could always discover something different in the future since this disease is so new and the research on it up to now has been so limited.
Our next question is about agriculture in Ohio.
Nicole Wright wants to know what the state is doing to help farmers. So we asked Ty Higgins, spokesman from the Ohio Farm Bureau.
We've seen some really great programs introduced at the federal level with the stimulus package that have to do with agriculture. In fact, $23.5 billion of that stimulus package is for farmers and ranchers across the country to be able to sustain the heavy hit they're taking economically because of this. One of the things that was really helpful is making sure our workforce was solid and sustainable. You know, many workers, when it comes to fruit and vegetables, they're immigrant workers. They come in on a guest worker program. The consulate in Mexico during this very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic was shutting down the H-2A visa guest worker program, not letting those workers renew for 2020. With the help of Ohio Farm Bureau and many in agriculture, we were able to get the consulate to waive renewing those H-2A visas to last for the entire 2020. So we kept those workers intact. On the state front, of course, there are small business programs that are being introduced. And just the fact that the governor and lieutenant governor recognized how important agriculture is to the state, it's Ohio's number one industry, from the farmer to the processing plant to the grocery store and those that stock the shelves. That was a big, big hurdle to get over for agriculture to be able to continue to do business.
Our next question is from Lynette Brown, who wants to know about the audio quality of the emergency alert system. She says, we're used to the periodic tests, but when there's a real emergency, there's no way a normal human could understand what's being said.
To find out why the emergency alert system sounds the way it does, here's Frank Foti, who is executive chairman of the Telos Alliance, a Cleveland-based maker of broadcasting equipment.
A lot of times the link that occurs between the different stations or from the emergency activation system network is usually a lower quality audio link. In this day and age, since most stuff is done over IP, it's being done at a lower bit rate. A few decades ago, we didn't have any ability to have voice over IP or network connections in the way that we do today, and things were done over what we call plain old telephone service or POTS lines. And in that regard, the audio was basically limited to a frequency range of about 300 hertz to 3,000 hertz. By perspective, our hearing range goes out to 20,000 hertz. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason is that some of the emergency alert network is done where some radio stations take a feed off the air. And in some cases, if the feeding radio station is an AM radio station, and for many, many years they were AM stations, AM radio has always had a lower audio frequency range as compared to FM. So those are a couple reasons why it sounds the way it does. Now, can it be improved? Of course it can. And I would imagine that since the EAS system, I think, is pretty much run and controlled by FEMA, I would suspect, especially now with the crazy situation that we have going on, that we'll probably see some type of federal money come available so that FEMA is able to put in nice network connections to all radio stations. And that way, you'd be able to have a much better audio fidelity when the tests are occurring.
Our next question is from David Cease. He wants to know about the Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
All but five of the BMVs in the state are closed, and they're only registering commercial vehicles or giving driver's tests for CDLs. So Mr. Cease wants to know, how does one title a passenger vehicle, and how is law enforcement handling the situation?
I'll answer the second part first. Law enforcement has been directed to, and I'm quoting now from the Secretary of State's website, use discretion to adjust enforcement and give consideration to a driver when it comes to expired licenses. The TSA will also be giving people leeway to use an expired license once we can all travel again.
What about if you need to title a vehicle you bought from a dealer or in a private party sale?
Those will require temporary tags. So if you buy from a dealer, they usually do that for you. But if not, or if it's a private sale, you need to get temporary tags at oplates.com. And you'll have to upload a copy of your driver's license or ID and the front and back of the title, which, by the way, has to be notarized.
And that's usually standard procedure in Ohio for car titles already, right?
Correct.
What if this lasts a long time and your tags expire?
Then you have to go back to the Oplate site and apply for what's called a hardship temporary tag.
By the way, if you do need to take a CDL test, the exam station in Northeast Ohio is in Parma, but the registrar is in Brooklyn. Elsewhere in Ohio, the open BMV offices are in Columbus, Marietta, Cincinnati, and Bowling Green.
And before we go, we should mention that we're still getting a lot of questions about which businesses are essential or not.
In Summit County, the health department has been interfacing with companies who remain open but are being reported as non-essential. Some are being shut down, others are scaling back, and still others are actually being allowed to stay open. The Beacon Journal reported that a few car washes reopened because they have government contracts to wash police and fire vehicles.
And I know there's at least one Summit County bookstore that has stayed open because they provide materials for the public schools. But while we can't list specific businesses, we do have the governor's order on our website, which lays out the job categories that are essential.
You can ask your question about coronavirus for O'Reilly at WKSU.org. I'm Sarah Taylor.
And I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.